Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
In this bulletin, local property tax rates will remain the same in Donegal in 2022. Meanwhile, Donegal County Council has been voting on a number of motions pertaining to MICA at a reconvened meeting this afternoon. They later went into private session. The HSC and SAILDA issue a joint statement urging people to practice good public health advice, particularly coming up to the August bank holiday weekend. COVID hospitalisations in Letterkenny now the highest in the country. Gardaí investigating yesterday's fatal crash in Letterkenny issue an appeal for information. And the Friends of Lifford Hospital are calling on the HSC to clarify the future of the facility. Later in the bulletin, Oisin is here with sports news. That's coming up at around 5:15. But we begin with confirmation that local property tax rates will remain the same in Donegal in 2022. Donegal County Council today voted to increase LPT by 15% from the base rate that effectively maintains the rate that pertained in 2021. With more detail, here's Trish Laverty.
The motion to increase local property tax was put forward by Councillor Martin Harley and seconded by Councillor Jimmy Kavanagh. 23 councillors voted in favour of the increase, with Sinn Féin councillors voting against, along with three independents. Sinn Féin's party whip, Councillor Marie-Thérèse Gallagher, told the council her party believes LPT is a regressive and unjust austerity measure. She said such a tax is unacceptable at a time when families are in mortgage arrears. Council officials had recommended the rate for 2022 remain the same as this year, effectively maintaining a 15% increase. Finance Director Richard Gibson and Chief Executive John McLaughlin both warned any reduction in the council's income from LPT would have an impact on its ability to deliver services.
Well, Councillor Frank McBrearty called on the government to employ an external auditor to forensically examine Donegal County Council's financial records. He said it's on the basis of what he described as the mess the financial records have been left in. He said there are many unanswered questions. A number of councillors asked for clarity as to why Councillor McBrearty was making such a proposal. Councillor Marie-Thérèse Gallagher said that if he has information, it should be circulated to all members. A number of councillors expressed their confidence in the finance team of Donegal County Council. Responding to what Councillor McBrearty said, the Chief Executive of the Authority, John McLaughlin, said he'd had no prior contact from Councillor McBrearty on the matter. He also confirmed an external and internal auditor are in place. Mr McLaughlin asked Councillor McBrearty to submit any evidence he claims he has on financial records of the Council to him. Well, later, two motions to support people affected by MICA were moved without opposition at this afternoon's reconvened council meeting. With more detail, here's Áine McGlinchey.
Councillor Frank McBrearty proposed that the council immediately stop collecting local property tax from people whose homes are affected by MICA, pyrite or pyrrhotite, and that any monies already paid are refunded. He said the announcement of an exemption by the government is a smokescreen, with exemptions being introduced next year and only for people with engineers' reports and completed applications. He's also seeking the immediate cessation of all commercial rate collection from affected businesses. Moving the motion, Councillor McBrearty said the government is facing multiple High Court actions, with Donegal County Council likely to be named as a co-defendant. Finance Director Richard Gibson said no legislation has been passed yet, so the council has no details of what the government is proposing. Meanwhile, Councillor Micheál Colm McAlaspog proposed a section to take responsibility for testing homes and properties at no expense to the homeowner. Director of Services Joe Peoples said this was one of a number of issues being considered by the Defective Blocks Working Group.
Well, the council later adjourned and reconvened in private session to consider legal advice pertaining to the purchase by the council of five houses in Buncrana, which turned out to be affected by MICA, and what scope the council has to decide not to use certain suppliers of blocks and concrete products. That reconvened part of the meeting taking place away from the press. Other news and health services in County Donegal are again stressing the importance of practising good public health behaviours in light of the recent increase in COVID-19 cases across the northwest. Public Health Director Dr. Anthony Breslin says numbers are on an upward trend at the moment and people know what they have to do in terms of public health measures, particularly with a bank holiday weekend approaching. Last night there were 19 people with COVID-19 at Letterkenny University Hospital. That was the highest figure in the country. Meanwhile, Selfless CEO Tony Canavan says even before we see the impact of the fourth wave of COVID on our hospitals, there are record numbers of people attending emergency departments, many of whom do need to be admitted to hospital for ongoing treatment. He said Selda is seeing a level of activity normally not seen until December and January. You can read that full statement on our website, highlandradio.com. The government is being urged not to put too much focus on one metric when considering a further easing of COVID restrictions. Ministers have asked the HSC to provide a more detailed breakdown of hospitalisations. They want to exclude COVID-positive patients from daily case numbers if they weren't specifically hospitalised because of COVID. Well, the Professor of Health Systems at DCU, Anthony Staines, says messing with the figures could give a very false impression of what's going on.
So if you're playing games, it's not too hard to redefine hospital admissions with COVID down to any number your heart desires. But that doesn't change the reality. And the reality is we have a large outbreak of COVID-19 in our country. And focusing on one particular measure for that is probably not a good approach.
Hotels say couples planning weddings need immediate clarity on the number of guests they can have. It comes as indoor dining reopens today for the first time in months. With more, here's Paul O'Donoghue.
After a false start earlier this month, indoor dining finally returned today, and these people are delighted to be back inside.
I think we should have had indoor dining before this, but now that it's back, I'm very glad that it's back.
I'm delighted to be able to go indoors and sit down. All the staff are wearing masks, yes, it's nice to have it back.
But while indoor dining may be back, question marks linger around weddings, with uncertainty on whether the maximum number of guests allowed will increase from 50 to 100 next month. Wedding planner Dara Doyle says he advises couples still planning to work under the current limit.
Like the weddings I'm working on, say, for the next August and September, the couples were very aware that it was likely to be, you know, a 25 and 50 scenario, and that's very much what they've planned for.
But Irish Hotels Federation President Elena Fitzgerald Kane says the assumption was the limit would rise to 100, which could create issues.
For the thousands of couples across the country who were looking to the 6th of August and beyond in anticipation of 100 guests, they're of, you know, that mindset of, you know, do we need to uninvite people?
With couples getting married in August still looking for clarity, hotels say a firm decision needs to be announced this week.
Garda investigations are continuing into a collision in Letterkenny last evening which led to the death of a 48-year-old man. The motorcycle on which the man was travelling collided with a tractor and jeep in Letterkenny last evening between the Polestar and Dry Arch roundabouts. Garda Sergeant Eunan Walsh has been outlining what happened.
Yesterday afternoon at approximately 4:55pm, Sunday the 25th of July, a fatal road traffic collision occurred on the from the whole Letterkenny, basically between Bundagee roundabout and what is known as the Polestar roundabout on the inbound lanes. There were three vehicles involved in the collision, a motorbike, a jeep and a tractor. Unfortunately, the driver of the motorcycle was fatally injured, 48-year-old man, as a result of the collision. And we're appealing for anybody who may be in the area at the time and driving in the area, inbound or outbound, to contact Gavie at Letterkenny 07491 67100. Or again at the confidential line 1-800-666-111. We were particularly interested for anybody who was in the area at the time, who may have been passing before or after the collision, and who may have before the collision, who may have dash cam, to come forward and make it available to us.
And that was Sergeant Eunan Walsh. The Friends of Livert Hospital are calling on the HSC to clarify the future of the facility, saying this afternoon that preparations are being made to transfer staff to either Stranorder or Remelton, staff being asked this week to make a decision by Friday. The group's chairperson, John Quinn, says they had received promises from the HSC that they'd be briefed on what was happening. But since the COVID pandemic, he says that hasn't been the case. Mr. Quinn says in the absence of information, speculation can develop and the HSC should act now to nip that in the bud.
The information that we've got at the moment is that the staff have been told they have a choice of two places, Ballybuffet or Remelton, and make this decision by Friday. We're pretty annoyed about it. They could have informed us what's happening. It's not what the HSE promised to do. They told us down through the years that always keep us in the loop and keep us up to speed on what's happening. But at the moment, we feel that they are doing stuff and it's going at a high speed. And it's, the COVID-19 has been used as a cloud to get this thing done. We understand that the unions are down there this afternoon talking to the workers. It's not looking too good, Donald. And at the same time, they're doing repairs on the roof and they've cut some trees, as far as I know, and also they're doing up some of the rooms upstairs. So speculation can run wild.
Given what HICWA had to say in recent reports, in its current form, Lifford was not going to survive as a community hospital. And what you're really asking the HSE is, what is going to happen with Lifford Hospital? What are the plans and what are the health provision plans for the Lifford area?
The other thing too, there was an ambulance that was based in Lifford and that's been transferred to Ballymafay. So there's a lot of stuff going on that the HSE are not telling the public. And if you don't tell people what's happening, everybody comes up with their own idea. And that causes a lot of anxiety.
And that's John Quinn, the chair of the Friends of Lifford Hospital. 65 people died on Irish roads between January and July 15th this year. Dublin had the highest number of fatalities at 11. Limerick, Tipperary, Kerry and Louth each had 5. Donegal had 2. New research from the RSA has found that rural roads with speed limits of 80 kilometres per hour or higher are the most likely places for fatal collisions to occur. Chief Superintendent Michael Hennebury from the National Roads Policing Bureau says Gardaí will be focusing on those areas from now on.
The rural areas that we're talking about are 80 kilometre speed zones plus, so that is the majority of the road network. The speeding in the more inhabited areas isn't quite as evident. I suppose our message is we will be out there enforcing the speed limits. We will focus now, giving the data that we're in possession of, we'll focus on the 80 kilometre plus speed limit areas.
Well, the Road Safety Authority is urging motorists to take extra care on the roads this week with the arrival of heavy downpours. A status yellow rain and thunderstorm warning remains in place until 5 o'clock tomorrow morning. Mid Éireann has also extended a weather advisory until Thursday. The RSA's Chief Executive, Sam Wade, says road conditions will be challenging.
There is the risk that the road surfaces after such a long, dry, prolonged period could be potentially very slippery. That will result in drivers and road users having to take additional caution and care.
A Derry councillor says the electoral office needs to recognise the detrimental impact a decision to wipe the electoral register will have. The office has wiped the entire voter register, with people now having to re-register to vote. Councillor Sandra Duffy is calling on Derry City and Strabane District Council to ensure there's an electoral process that's open, transparent and accessible.
The electoral office has made a decision that every few years, I think it's every 4 years, that they will wipe the electoral register and then start again afresh. All this does is disenfranchise people. People need to be informed that this is happening. They need to ensure that it's communicated effectively and that people are then helped and supported to get back on. In the middle of a pandemic, when we are still very much not going to people's doors to encourage them to get back on the electoral register, it has left people with a gap in terms of how they're going to get back on. We do have an assembly election coming up next year. So really, the electoral office at this stage, in the middle of a pandemic, with an election coming up, could have waited a further year before doing this.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by Cash for Clubs at Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, the new loyalty scheme that rewards your club every time you shop at michaelmurphysports.ie.
16 minutes past five, we say good evening to Oisin Kelly.
Thanks, Donal. We start with Gaelic Games. Donegal's All-Ireland Senior Ladies Championship quarter-final with the holders Dublin will be played next bank holiday Monday the 2nd of August at Park Sean McDermott in Carrigan-Shannon, County Leitrim. The game will throw in at 4 o'clock. Donegal, of course, progressed to the last eight by beating Kerry 2-13-2-8 in Tuam Galway on a Saturday. As for the rest of the games, the Mayo-Galway match will also be played on Monday. That's in Castlebar. And on Sunday, Armagh play Meath and Cork will take on Waterford. Tyrone and Derry will be playing out their respective All-Ireland hurling finals next weekend at Croke Park. Tyrone and Mayo will feature in the Nicky Rackard Cup decider on Saturday the 31st of July, with the game being part of a triple header at GAA headquarters. That game will start at 1:30 and will be followed at 4 by the Ulster Senior Football Championship final between Monaghan and Tyrone. So Tyrone having both teams playing at Croker on the same day. The third game of the day will be the Fermanagh-Cavan battle for hurling's Laoghaire Maher Cup, which starts at 6:30. The Derry hurlers will step onto the turf at Croke Park for their Crusty Ring Cup final against Offaly on Sunday afternoon, the 1st of August. That game starts at 1 p.m. and is a doubleheader with the Dublin Meath Leinster Senior Football Final, which throws in at 4. Parky Keeve in Cork has been confirmed to host Saturday's All-Ireland Hurling Quarterfinal clash of Waterford and Tipperary. That one starts at 1:30, while Dublin will face Cork at Semple Stadium that evening at 7 o'clock. All-Ireland champions Derry have 6 players named on the Electric Ireland Minor Football Team of the Year, and their captain, Matthew Downey, has been named the Player of the Year. The Lavey forward was consistently brilliant throughout the campaign and showed maturity beyond his years by stepping up to score a phenomenal penalty in added time of the All-Ireland Final, which secured a first minor title for the Oakleaf County since 2002. The other 5 players in the Team of the Year are Cian McGonigal, Lee Brady, Owen McAvoy, Mark Doherty and Lachlan Murray. And there'll be more Gaelic Games talk tonight here on Highland. The DL Debate podcast with Brendan Devaney available on highlandradio.com. We'll be hearing from Maureen O'Donnell, Frank Craig and Oisin Langan as they talk all Gaelic Games ladies and men's football. That's the DL Debate podcast tonight with Brendan Devaney on our website. It will also air just after the 7 o'clock news. To the Olympics now and Northwest related matters. Mona McSherry qualified for the final of the 100 metre breaststroke with a 4th place finish in her semi-final in the early hours of this morning. The 20-year-old from Sligo, who has strong Donegal connections with the Ballyshannon Marlins club, qualified in 8th overall and became only the 2nd Irish swimmer ever to make an Olympic final.
I'm over the moon, you know, that was the target, you know, make it round by round. And when I got the semi-finals yesterday, it was just the plan to compete and race and try and make it to a final. And, you know, I knew it was going to be tough. I was in 9th, already having moved up from my starting position. So I knew it was going to be a push. Everyone's, you know, swimming fast and it is really competitive. But I'm just so happy to be able to get another opportunity to race tomorrow.
Olympic debutante Nat Nguyen has won his first Group F badminton match at Tokyo 2020. The Dubliner came through against a Sri Lankan opponent, winning 21-16, 21-14. He'll be back on court on Wednesday. The team lead in Japan for Badminton Ireland is their high performance director from RFO, and that's Daniel McGee.
Very happy with Nat's performance today. It was a really, really strong debut for Nat. He played really well in the opening game, settled very well, and then Luca is a very experienced player. He's a 3-time Olympian and he's been ranked as high as number 34 in the world, so it was always going to be a tricky opening match, and especially as it was Nat's debut at the Olympics. So overall we're really pleased with how he performed, and we're now looking forward to his next match on Wednesday, where he'll face the number 10 seed and world number 10 Wang Ziwei from Chinese Taipei. That will be a tough test for Nat, but we really hope that he can create a big upset and carry on with the good form that he's shown so far in the competition.
Russell White made his Olympic debut with a 48th place finish today in the men's individual triathlon. The Banbridge athlete is coached by Letterkenny man Michael Black. Russell had a tough time on the day and indeed in getting to the games, but Michael says he can be very proud of his Olympic achievement.
It's been a phenomenal achievement to get to his first Olympic Games in the year that has been in the last probably year to 18 months, and going through such an arduous qualification period. And so he's very positive coming out of it. He's thoroughly enjoyed the experience. The experience here, being in the village, being part of Team Ireland, has been fantastic. And he should definitely be very proud of his performance and the way he handled himself in the lead up to getting to this point of it.
On to cross-channel soccer, Tottenham have completed the signing of Brian Gill from Sevilla. The Spanish international winger cost €25 million, plus Eric Lallana moving the other direction. 20-year-old Gill has signed a 5-year contract with Spurs. And John Terry has left his position as assistant head coach at Aston Villa. He says he'll now visit clubs around Europe to gain more experience as he aims to become a manager. Finally, in racing, the 2021 Galway Festival is underway at Ballybrit. The first race of the week was won by 15-2 shot I Am Mad Magic, while Black Cat Bobby was a 14-1 winner off the Clayton Hotel Galway.ie handicap. The Connacht Hotel handicap for amateur riders is the feature on day one. That goes to post at 6:15. The third race of the day is currently running at the moment. Donegal jockeys Oisin Orr, Dylan Brown McMonagall and Luke McAteer all have rides this evening in Galway. That's your sport, Donal. Our next bulletin's tomorrow morning after the 8:30 news.
Thank you, Oisin. An Innishowen councillor is calling for additional car parking facilities at Malin Head and in Malin Town, saying it's vital progress is made ahead of the coming bank holiday weekend. Councillor Martin McDermott says parking's been a long-running issue at Malin Head, with the council previously committing that extra parking would be made available. He says the lack of facilities is resulting in gridlock.
As you know, the numbers of visitors here to the peninsula and the number of people now on staycation has increased drastically. There's always been an issue at the Malin Head in relation to parking, and I think that we did meet with the council a few months ago, and parking was to be made available, extra parking made available. It still hasn't been. It's gridlock down there most of the time, and I think that, you know, we don't want visitors coming to the area, coming to Malin Head, not being able to get parked and leaving, you know, thinking that the services are not there for them. So it's important that we push forward.
And the Defective Blocks Working Group has requested that talks with government are extended. There are a number of urgent micro-related issues to be addressed by the July 31st deadline. It comes following two meetings last week, with one homeowner walking out of Friday's meeting, claiming government officials are attempting to push through another 90-10 scheme. A member of the working group, Eileen Doherty, says the process of talks is not working. The group's being instructed to themselves provide government with details on square footage costs and estimated accommodation costs. The working group is due to meet again tomorrow. Ms Doherty told Greg Hughes on today's 9 till noon show that they cannot allow discussions to be rushed.
They do have these teams, and that's why we felt as if we had got to go back and say, this is not a fair discussion, a fair negotiation. And therefore, we have got to ask that this, we've asked that it will be extended, we've asked that the discussions are extended, but that the urgent issues will be addressed. Our demand is still the same. Our demand is still 100% redress for all families. And I think that's the discussion they were pulling us into. And then we started to feel as if that conversation just needed to be reviewed and the process needed to be reviewed. So we'll just hear what they say tomorrow when they come back. Basically, what's happened is they said, look, we hear what you've said, we take your point. We will have to come back. We'll have to consult, and we'll come back to you on Tuesday, in the meeting on Tuesday. So there's one tomorrow morning. At the end of the day, we won't allow that this process is rushed. We have got to ensure that whatever happens, and that we are given sufficient time, and that we are equipped with the best information possible. And that's really where we are. We can't be forced down a route where they just want to meet a deadline by the end of this month. And to be honest with you, that report will sit on the desk for at least a month until the Dáil recess is over. So what matters, you know, most is getting the best deal, even if it means another number of weeks.
And that was Eileen Doherty of the Mica Action Group speaking there to Greg Hughes. Weather forecast: a mostly cloudy day with showers, heavy at times, less warm than recently with highs of 17 to 20 degrees Celsius, in moderate northwest breezes. Showers will become more widespread tonight, turning heavy into thundery with a risk of spot flooding. Minimum temperatures 11 to 14 degrees Celsius in moderate northwest winds. Cloudy with showery rain lingering for much of the day tomorrow, with some bright spells, highest temperatures 16 to 18. Again, moderate northwest winds. And that's Highland Radio News for now. Looking at the Northwest headlines, and local property tax rates are to remain the same in Donegal in 2022. Councillors today voted to increase LPT by 15% from the base rate, which means the 2021 rate will be maintained. Councillor Frank McBurdy, meanwhile, called on the government to employ an external auditor to forensically examine the council's financial records. The chief executive asked him to submit any evidence he may have. Two motions to support people affected by MICA were moved without opposition at this afternoon's council meeting. The meeting later adjourned and convened in private session to consider legal advice pertaining to the purchase by the council of five houses in Buncrana, which turned out to have MICA, and what scope the council has to decide not to use certain suppliers of blocks and concrete products. And that's Highland Radio News. We're back with news headlines again at 6 o'clock. Good evening. The obituary notices for this Monday evening, the 26th of July. The death has occurred of Cahill James, 5 West Hill, Letterkenny. His remains will repose at Letterkenny Funeral Home, Port Road, for viewing from 7 to 9 this evening and again tomorrow. Funeral Mass on Wednesday morning at 11 in St. Eunan's Cathedral, Letterkenny, with interment afterwards in the family plot in New Leck Cemetery. Due to HSC and government guidelines, wake, funeral and interment are private to family and close friends only, please, with a maximum of 50 people permitted. Funeral Mass can be viewed live on churchservices.tv/letterkenny. The death has occurred of Jonathan Crumlish, 32, Hawken Street, Derry. Jonathan's remains are reposing at 4 De Molan Park, Derry. Funeral Mass on Wednesday at 12 noon in Holy Family Church, Ballymacroarty, Derry, followed by private cremation in Lakelands Crematorium, Cavan. Jonathan's funeral mass can be viewed on holyfamilyparish.com. The death has occurred of Francie Lafferty, Mean Carriga, Ballybuffet. Funeral from his late residence on Wednesday morning at 10:15 for Requiem Mass in the Church of Mary Immaculate, Stranorlar at 11 o'clock. Interment afterwards in Drumbo Cemetery. Requiem Mass will be streamed live via the parish webcam at churchservices.tv/Stranorlar. In compliance with current HSC and government guidelines, the house and funeral are strictly private to family only, please, with a maximum of 50 people permitted. And the death has taken place of Hilda Walker, Colin Carndonagh, formerly of 23 Nicholson Gardens, Ardmore, Derry. Her remains are reposing at her daughter Hilary and John McCluskey's home in Colin Carndonagh. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 10:15, going to the Church of the Sacred Heart, Carndonagh, for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock. Interment afterwards in St Mary's Cemetery, Ardmore, Derry. In compliance with current HSC and government guidelines, the house and funeral are strictly private to family only, please, with a maximum of 50 people permitted.